That's Acts chapter 8 for tonight. This kind of was bearing on my heart these last couple days. And I'll take my text at about verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go down and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of the great of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he says, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before its shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we bow in your presence and pray this hour again. And ask God, I ask God for utterance to speak this your word, that, Lord, it would find a lodging place in the hearts of those that can hear. And, Lord, it would not return unto you void, as you said, as we cast it by faith upon the water of humanity and the ears of men. I pray, God, now your blessing on not only the reading of the word of God, but the explanation and then the preaching of the word of God. So these things I ask, encourage the church, encourage the saints of God, and save that sinner that's nearest hell. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask these things. Amen. Now, I've simply entitled the message tonight, The Gaza Strip. And Gaza shows up here in the Word of God in Acts, and it's the place, it's a desert place, and it's the same Gaza that you find in the news today, in the day and age that we live. It's an old place. It's mentioned at least 42 times in the scriptures in the Bible. Now, the Bible is not recognized by the religions of that area and that place over there because they don't use the Word of God. Now, the Jews use the Hebrew, but those Palestinians do not. They use the Quran, and it's not spoken of like it is in the Word of God, especially not in the same context. And I want to bring you a message. What should we do because of what's happening in the Gaza Strip? Short title is The Gaza Strip. And so from our text in the New Testament, especially in Acts chapter 8, there's some things that we're supposed to do because of what's going on in the Gaza Strip. And I want you to see that tonight. Presently, most of the West Bank, and when I speak of the West Bank, I'm taking a lot for granted that you understand what I'm talking about. It's been in the news. You had it in history class. You had it when you went to school, and it's easily found out in the day and age that we live because of the information that abounds out there in books, the internet, different places. So presently, most of the Gaza Strip, most of the West Bank as administered by Israel through 42%, I've written a few statistics down so that I wouldn't get them wrong as I tried to speak about this. So 42% of it is under varying degrees of autonomous rule by Fatah. That's F-A-T-A-H, Fatah-Fatah run. And then that Fatah is the Palestinian authorities. That's who that is. So that 42% of the Gaza Strip on the West Bank is run by Palestinians. Now, you do understand that Palestinians are not Jewish people. Palestinians is a word that shows up when the Arabs begin to take control over there. And when I say Arabs, let me clarify that. Already wrong. When the non-Jewish people, when the Muslim people over there rose up, they're called the Palestinians. So Palestinian doesn't even show up in the Word of God. But here, the Gaza Strip is currently under the control of Hamas. You need to know that. You need to understand that. You say, what is Hamas? Well, Hamas doesn't show up in the Word of God, but these people show up in the Word of God. These people are against the things of God. They're against the Bible. They're against Jews. They're against anybody that's against them or doesn't stand with them, I should say. Even if you're not against them and you just don't stand with them, their wish for you is death. Because they're serving a pagan god, they're serving a god that they call Allah. So Hamas is a Palestinian Sunni Islamic fundamentalist, but pragmatic, militant, and national organization. Now my own take on that, I tried to boil that down the best I could, and is funded, you'll never guess who funds it. Say, oh, Brother Phil, you mean they have support? Sure they do. Iran supports Hamas, who is in the Gaza Strip. And by the way, they've been tearing up Jerusalem and that part over there. They've shot over 800 some missiles into that area. And they have that Iron Dome thing, Israel does. And they were able to take these missiles out and shoot these missiles down before most of them ever hit the ground. And some of the graphics on that are tremendous. But you say, what is that? Well, that's war going on is what that is. They call it a holy war. They don't think Israel ought to be in the land. They're trying to get rid of Israel, and they don't want Israel there. So Iran is behind it, and it's more Muslim-based type people, Iran being a bigger state. Iraq and Iran over there together, but Iran is the one that's behind it, that drives it, that would annihilate the nation of Israel if it could. Question, what is the significance of Gaza in the Bible? That's a good question, and that's the press that I bring tonight as I look. Answer, Gaza, also called Azza, A-Z-Z-A-H. And I bring that to your attention because so many folks have read it in the Bible, didn't know what they was reading about, and didn't study it to find it out. And I thought, well, you know what? I have other messages on Gaza and the different areas that I have incorporated into lessons and messages that I've put together on prophecy. And Gaza is going to play an important role. Also called Asa, is first mentioned in Genesis as one of the border cities of Cana. Genesis chapter 10, verse 15 through 19. And I hate to say this, but we probably should go lay a good foundation to let me say the three or four little things I want to say. What should we be doing because of what's going on in the Gaza Strip? And I'm going to give you three or four things, possibly three things that we need to be doing because of the turmoil that we see in the Middle East. But first, take your Bible, if you would, and go to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Now, I know it's not a normal Wednesday night lesson. Amen. We didn't even have any special music. Amen. I guess I'll have to repent and get right or something. I don't know. But here in Genesis chapter 10, verse 15, the Bible says it this way. It says in verse 15, and Cana begat Sidon and the firstborn at Heth. Let me get to the right place, and I could be in the wrong place. Let's see if this shakes out. And the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Girgazites and the Hivites and the Arachites and the Sinaites. I need to go all the way down here. Here we go. And the Arvadites and the Zimmerites and the Hamorites. And afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad, and the border of Canaan was from Sidon, as thou cometh to Gera, unto Gaza. And I wanted to get that. I wanted to show you who was in the land, and I'll make a statement about that in a moment. As thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, Admon and Zeboam, even unto Lasha. And you know Sodom and Gomorrah. There were four cities there, and all four of them was mentioned right there. And they were cities given over to wickedness. The people of those cities were very exceedingly wicked. Now, not only were they wicked, in that same catalog of peoples, are the Canaanites, and I just listed all of them there, the Girgazites, so on and so forth. And it's the Canaanites that were in this land at the time. Now, you say, why does that start off in the middle over there in Genesis? Because that land, when they went in to take the land, when they finally crossed the Jordan River, right in that same area, God told them to utterly kill them and wipe them out. You say, why would God do anything like that? Because they were anti-God. They didn't believe in God. They were idolaters, and they had succumbed to all kinds of paganism. And when you get to studying what they did and how they did it in their land, they were full of diseases. They were full of all kinds of atrocities and sins. Even to the most rudiment things, God said, kill them all. And guess what? They didn't kill them all. And the Canaanites and the Philistines are still alive today. Matter of fact, it's the Philistines that are talked about all the way through the scripture, from Genesis to Revelations, that are a thorn in the side of the nation of Israel. Say, why? Because they didn't mind God. You know, every time you disobey God, something bad's going to happen. And that thing probably plagued you the rest of your life because you didn't do what God said. And we kind of see that here. So the city was on the border of Israel and Egypt, in the southwest part of Israel, near the Mediterranean Sea, right on the coast there. Gaza is one of the oldest cities in history. The name Gaza means strong, because it was an impregnable city, which is a fitting name considering the city's strongholds and fortifications, and it was built for protection. It could protect those that were in it. So they feel very safe when they're in this city, Gaza. But you know, now I'm telling you history here in the Old Testament, and then we'll get into what not only the Old Testament, first five chapters of the Old Testament say, that would be history. We'll get into what the prophets say, just briefly. The prophets have something to say. And when I say prophets, I mean Jeremiah, Isaiah, and we call them major prophets have to say about Gaza. I won't have time to develop all of it, but they have something to say. And then the minor prophets have something to say about Gaza. And when the minor prophets start piping up and saying stuff about Gaza, that's for the prophetical thing and the end of time. Because Israel is almost totally gone into captivity at this time because they didn't mind God, and now they're over here going in. So the minor prophets have a lot to say about what's coming down the pike for Gaza, and the minor prophets are telling you, and I won't take the time to go get it all out as I've already studied it, but the minor prophets are telling you that Gaza will be no more. Gaza will be desolate when Israel gets done, no, when God gets done with it. It'll be a place for the cormorant and for the owl and for those birds that fly in that take up roost. It'll be like a ghost town. You say, well, man, it's sure lobbing missiles over on Israel today. Well, hang on. One of these days soon, God will take care of that place called Gaza. Now watch. Gaza was a city associated with the Philistines, which I've already said. Originally, the Avites, and I just read about them, lived in Gaza. But the Cathrathites, and they got all these ites and thites, displaced them and settled them in the city. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 23 will give you the reference if you want to check it out. And the Philistines were most likely identical or related to the Cathrathites who came from Crete. And the ancient Philistines had traveled to Cana from a coastal region. And the prophets, Jeremiah chapter 47, verse 4, he talks about that. So it's quite possible that they originally came from Crete. Now, Crete was always a hard place. It's still a hard place today. And by the way, Paul sent Timothy into Crete. Said, I want you to go down there, and I want you to make Christians out of those people, and I want you to make an ordained elders in every place you go. And man, Timothy said, man, I don't know if I can do that. And they're all liars, evil beasts, low bellies, and liars, or something like that. He said, that's what's in Crete. Well, that's what you're dealing with, those people. But, you know, if God saves you, it'll change you. Amen. So, in the time of Joshua, the Israelites conquered the land from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza. Gaza's always showing up in Scripture, from the whole region of Goshen to Gibeon. And the land of Goshen is where they were when they were down there in Joseph's day. And that's Joshua chapter 10, verse 41. So, the tribe of Judah, and that's the tribe your Lord is from, they inherited Gaza. You see, is that significant? Very significant. God's going to only let them tread on me for just a while. Amen. I mean, that place is supposed to belong to Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah, and Judah will end up with that land grant in the end day, according to the minor prophets. When you read Zechariah and Zephaniah and Micaiah, they're ending up with that thing. But they don't have it today. It's a bunch of Palestinians. It's from Ishmael and Moab and those people who do not recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here, and they were able to keep the city for a short time before it fell back into the hands of the Philistines. And that's what happens. The Philistine rose up again. Joshua did not annihilate them. In Judges chapter 1 verse 18, the Philistines are, they're back up into power. And remember, they caused so much trouble to the nation of Israel. It's the Philistines that killed Saul and Jonathan. It's the Philistines that give David that fit. It's the Philistines that David hit out with, the king of Gershom, and he lied to him, and the king, he put up with him. He didn't trust him, and the king's men didn't. You say, why? They were Philistines, and they knew that the Jews were against Philistines, and David's trying to say, no, I'm your friend, man, I'm your friend. No, he was running from Saul. He was lying through his teeth. And Achish asked him that day, he asked David. David had been gone with his men. He had 600 mighty men with him in those days when he was running from Saul. And when he come riding back in that day, Achish had been out killing Jews. And he asked David, wherein hast thou made a road today? Now, that's a good question, but that's the only time in the Bible the word road is used. And David lied to him. Said, I've been down in the south, taking care of business for you, king. And he wasn't taking care. He was killing Philistines, and he wasn't leaving a one of them alive. You say, why? Because that's what God told him to do. And he was wiping out man, woman, child. You say, why? Because they were a thorn in the side of Israel. By the way, he didn't get them all, but he was sure working on them. Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000s. They were giving Israel a plague in those days. And as we see it roll through, they're still giving Israel grief today. See, man, that's a long time ago. Yeah, that thing didn't just start yesterday. I don't care what Congress says. I don't care what the squad says. There was four in that squad. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about those people in Congress. There were four ladies. The original four of the squad, remember? And they're of the Democratic Party, and they're Muslims, and they're against Israel. They're anti-Semitic. They want, you know what they said? And there's not four of them anymore. There's six of them now. A man has joined them in and these states around us, Minnesota, Michigan, different places, have voted these people in, and they're in our Congress now, and they're Muslims. They're against America, and they're against the Jew. And they're calling the retaliation of Israel on Hamas in Gaza. They're calling it, it's in the news even as I speak, they're calling Israel terrorists. And they're careful to only show you, well, Israel, I think Benjamin Netanyahu said, look, if it takes an iron fist, we'll yield an iron fist. And he meant what he says, because they mustered those jets that America supplied. Amen. And they jumped in those jets, and they fired over there on those towers and those places in Gaza, and killed one of their high military men, killed a couple of their engineers, and killed some civilians too. And the news is careful to only show them Palestinians being carried out on stretchers, and oh, how terrible those mean old Jews killed those people. Somebody better get to thinking right around here. They've been causing trouble to Israel all that time, and they're still causing trouble. The news has it backwards. The squad has it backwards. But I don't have it backwards tonight. The Bible's got it straight. Amen. So, man, don't get me fired up here. By the time of Samson in the Judges, he was the 13th judge. Samson is the guy that was supposed to be delivering Israel, judging Israel in the days of the Philistines. Can I remind you? It's the Philistines up in Gaza that gave Samuel the fit that he had. They put out his eyes. Now, Samuel had some personal problems, about like the average Christian today. Just a poor leader. He had flesh problems, and he wanted a woman of the world, and he got one. And old Delilah caused him to fall. The next one caused him to fall. And you say, well, what happened? Did God write him off? Well, he was a Jew, and God didn't write him off. He's a picture of the nation of Israel and what he's going to go through. And by the way, he was blind. You say, how's that fit in? I don't know. I read my Bible in the book of Romans that Israel is in blindness by part. And so Samson is a picture of Israel's blindness, and he gets trounced on and trounced on and trounced on by the Philistines from Gaza, and he gets his eyes put out, and he spiritually can't see, and he's not fed well. But brother, he musters enough strength at the end and puts his hands up, and they ask the young man to bring him down there to the pilasters and pillars. Those were the pilasters and the pilasters up against the gods of Dagon. They were heathen. They were heathenistic. And he put his hands on those pillars and pushed those pillars down. And brother, he killed more in his death than he killed. Remember when he took the jawbone of an ass and slew him? I mean, you say, why? Because they were against God. They were against the things of God. They were against the children of God. They were against the Jew. And so they were doing business. So in Samson's day, same people giving them a same fit. So Samson, that's Judges 16:1. When Samson visited Gaza, the people were planning to kill him, but he escaped and carried off the city gates. Judges 16:1-3, I forgot that part. After Delilah tricked Samson into divulging the secrets of his strength, the Philistines captured him, took him to prison in Gaza, and I'm reading now, Judges 16:21. Later, Samson gained his strength from the Lord and pushed down the pillars of Dagon temple, destroying the, I knew I read that somewhere, in right here in my notes, the edifice, and killing many Philistines in the process, Judges 16:22-30. Say, that's all in the Bible? Every bit of it's in the Bible. So should we be surprised tonight that Gaza is still trying to bomb Israel when she's got her back turned just a little bit, think that they could get away with this thing? Israel's not going to stand for that. She rose up, and her retaliation was just a little stronger than their barrage of rockets that they sent over. So the Philistines continued to control Gaza during the time of Samuel. In 1 Samuel 6:17, King Hezekiah won great victories over the Philistines as for Gaza and its territories, but did not conquer Gaza itself. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 6. I'm not running to these places. I've already pre-studied out before the lesson. I'm just giving you the material. Gaza was the city associated with judgment. Don't you ever forget that. They're going to be judged. They're going to be in the news. You're going to see it, and you're going to hear about it on your news channels even today. Jeremiah, Amos, Zephaniah, Zechariah all prophesied judgment on Gaza because of the sins of the Philistines. And I can't even name these hideous sins that they were involved in. If you want to know about them, study Hislop's book, Mystery Babylon. And they were involved in some of these hideous things, bestiality. I'm not even going to tell you what all it is. It's so bad. Killing their children to the gods of Moloch and some of these other gods. Amos 1:6-7 records God's judgment on Gaza. For 3 transgressions of Gaza and for 4, I will not revoke the punishment because they carried into exile the whole people to deliver them up to Edom. So I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza. Now, Gaza had walls. Remember, even in the days of Samson, they had iron gates. They were a strong, a fortified city. Samson took the gates and carried them off. So it was the same kind of thing. And I shall devour her strongholds. Likewise, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah prophesied of Gaza's destruction. Jeremiah the prophet in the prophets, Jeremiah 25, Zephaniah 2, Zechariah 9, King Sargon of Assyria conquered Gaza and probably destroyed it in 720 B.C. But she's not done. Later, Alexander the Great destroyed the city again in 332 B.C. After a lengthy battle during the Maccabean period, Jonathan subjugated Gaza to Israel. And you say, well, does it belong to Israel now? It always did. They never done away with the inhabitants of the place. So Gaza was a city associated with the spread of the gospel. I need to get back to Acts 8. The New Testament mentioned Gaza once. An angel told Philip the evangelist to go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Acts 8:26, my text tonight. What should we as Christians, Bible believers, as a church, a New Testament church, be doing because of what's happening in Gaza today? On the road to Gaza, Philip shared the gospel with an Ethiopian eunuch and subsequently baptized him by Acts 8:26 down through verse 39. I didn't read all that. A city once filled with hostilities toward the Lord served as a marking point for an Ethiopian to hear and trust in the grace of God. That's our key tonight as to what we should be doing. And I believe God put it in there in such a way and recorded it so on this day we could recognize it and know something about it. The Bible associates Gaza mainly with the Philistines. God had given the city to Judah, but the Israelites had failed to obey God in driving out the former occupants of Cana in Numbers 33, 51 through 53. If you want to read it, because of that disobedience, the Philistines and the city of Gaza remained a thorn in Israel's side for centuries. Judges 2 and 3. And she's still a thorn today. So, what should we be doing as a church and as a Christian? Can I say, look at Acts 8:26? Could I say, I'm going to say three things. We as a Christian people, you personally, we collectively as a church, are to continue to go and labor telling others about Jesus. In the face of this hideous place called Gaza, in the New Testament, God sends an evangelist up there to evangelize. And by the way, evangelism is the key to what we're supposed to do, going and telling others. Arise and go, verse 26. Very simple lesson. Say, what are we supposed to do? Arise and go. Now, don't sit there and watch the news and say, oh my goodness, Israel's bombing poor Gaza. Well, because she's in blindness by part, she should have annihilated that place a long time ago. And it didn't happen. So Gaza's going to be a thorn in Israel's side until the final day. I don't care how good she is, how good Israel is, what her military powers are. She's going to have to deal with these things. So, but to you and me, don't be surprised when you see it on the news. We still have work to do. We're not of that mess. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. John chapter 17. We're going to see that, so don't get alarmed. People say, well, I'm all shook. If they're doing that over there, and we got that squad, the six now in our Congress, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to make a lot of noise. But I got news for you. There's an awful lot of redneck hillbillies running around. Ain't going to put up with much of that very long. Amen. Say, well, where'd they come from? Somalia, different places. And they want to come and fix America. Why don't you go fix where you come from? Huh? I don't know. I don't think I'm off on that. But I'm not going to get involved in the government and all that. I'm going to pray for them like they say, but I've got a job to do. I've got work that needs to be done. And me personally, I'm going to go and tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a church, we're not going to get militant. We're not going to buy camo and work out every day and get ready for them. We're going to go outside our doors, outside the camp as a church and a body, and we're going to stand for the cause of Christ in this dark hour. And that's what we should be doing. Laboring and telling others. Secondly, could I say this? I'm going to say three things and I'm done. Acts 8:35. The Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. I think, secondly, we ought to continue to love and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that involves open our mouth and preaching Jesus. And I said it in point one. I'm saying it in point number two. But we still need to love one another. We need to live in this dark age for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not like we're a heathen hottentot. Not like we're, I don't know, any of 100 worldly things, but as a Christian. Say, it's impossible, Brother Phil, to live in America and be separated and look right and act right and talk right. I don't know. Abraham did pretty good when he called him out of the air of the Chaldees. It was nothing but a polytheistic type of pagan place. And he went out into a land where there's nothing but more heathens and more godlessness. And he stayed right with God. He stayed separated unto God. He still prayed. He still worshiped God. And the Bible, if you follow him, he builds five altars in his lifetime. And brother, he had to go back to Bethel, and he had to go here or there. And brother, that last altar he builds is on Mount Moriah. And brother, that last altar is to offer up that son, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. We ought to probably have some altars in our life to serve God. Continue to love and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes what Christians are doing. I look out there in Christendom and everybody's, oh, I'm saved, preacher, yeah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Yeah, okay. Are you serving God? Oh, I'm doing the best I could. I wonder about that. Lastly, let me say this. Thirdly, continue to look and listen for the Lord's return. That scripture says in Acts 8, verse 39. I didn't read quite that far. I read to verse 35. But I want you to look down there at verse 39. It says, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Now, say, what's that about? Well, Philip is the type of the church, personally and collectively. And he's going in spite of all the adversity. He's preaching in spite of all the turmoil, the wars and rumors of wars. He's loving people. He goes and joins himself to an Ethiopian, someone of not his culture, not his creed. A Jew didn't want to have much to do with anybody else but a Jew. But you don't see that barrier there. He went and he loved that man, and he lived his life in front of that man. And the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. And then I want you to watch. And Philip continued about his business. He kept on doing what God said. And the Bible says this picture. Philip is a picture of the church. He's a picture of the of you and I that are saved. And the Spirit of God caught him out. You say, what's that? Well, that's a picture of the rapture of the church. You say, where'd he go? Wherever the Lord wanted him next. I think the next time he shows up, people want, how'd you get here? Did you fly Delta? No, I flew Holy Ghost. Okay. You say, what's going on? Continue to look and listen for the Lord's return. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. Look, when the church leaves, there ain't nobody they're gonna be looking around there. What happened to church? Didn't need them anyway. Amen. And then about 3.5 years into that thing, when they've had to take the mark or die, where's that old Bible? Where's that thing laying around? Man, you got a CD of that guy preaching, you know, back in the 2020s. Say, it won't happen. No, it will happen. That's why we ought to be diligent in just preaching Christ. Open the scriptures and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it on cassette tape. Put it on reel to reel. Put it on CD. Put it on YouTube. Put it on Facebook. Put it on sermons audio. Put it any place you can get it. Put it in written page. I'm leaving every message that I've got. It's down in writing. And somebody's going to see it someplace, but don't burn the whole place down. You say, why? Because somebody in the tribulation is going to need to hear it. Amen. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Israel's bombing Gaza. Well, make note of it. Watch the eastern sky. It's getting real over there. But we still got work to do as a church and as Christians. We're to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world, the Bible says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Yeah, we're just passing through. So tonight, a little lesson on what we should do because of the Gaza Strip, and showing you that Gaza shows up a number of times, a little bit of history, and a little bit of a challenge tonight. And don't know if it can help change anybody, but I hope it makes you make the right choice. And that's what you're confronted with, a challenge, a choice, and a change. And so tonight, I think we'll close out in a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. We won't have a song tonight, Brother Jeff. We'll just pray and ask God's blessing as we go our separate ways. Thank you for coming tonight, supporting your church, and pray for Pastor and his family and his wife, these things. Now let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for an opportunity to teach and preach your word. Thank you for a chance to open the scriptures and just look into it and see what we should be doing as Christian people. Bless now and help us be mindful of others. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. God bless you and good night.